Over the past week, we interviewed four extremely qualified head coaching candidates. We started this search knowing that there were many important qualities we were looking for: energy, charisma, discipline, and character are traits that come to mind. As I stated before, I understood the importance of this decision. John Fox is a proven winner, and when he became available, honestly, the game changed. The more time I spent with him and his family, the more it became apparent that he is the perfect man to lead our charge. With that said, I'm extremely excited to introduce the new head coach of the Chicago Bears, John Fox.
I'd like to begin, first of all, giving thanks. Thanks to the McCaskey family. Thanks to Ted Phillips. Obviously, thank you to Ryan Pace for this opportunity. I'd like to thank my family, my wife, Robin, my four children, three sons, Matthew, Mark, Cody, and my 15-year-old daughter who will be following us here to Chicago, Hallie. This is a great, great honor, privilege, to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears. I think the thing that excited me and my family was the storied franchise this stood for. To be standing here in the same role as George Halas is pretty remarkable, and one I take very seriously with great responsibility moving forward. After that, just like to open it up for questions. I know there'll be a few, and I look forward to getting a relationship, getting to know all of you better, and thank you. Questions?
Hey, John, here in the middle. Can you describe what the last few days were like for you, meeting Ryan, getting to know him a little bit, and the importance of that relationship, how it came together?
Well, I think it's paramount, that relationship. Maybe the most important relationship in a NFL building. You know, this is a we, not me profession. And that's true whether it's upstairs, downstairs, or between those lines. I think that culture and that environment is paramount to be successful on the field. One that, you know, with help by a lot of coaching staff, we've been able to transpire into the organization we're in. And I'm looking forward into building that with Ryan, with the McCaskeys, with our coaching staff moving forward.
John, Peggy Kaczynski, NBC Chicago. You've won with Jake Delhomme, Tim Tebow, Peyton Manning. Can you win with Jay Cutler, and what do you see as his future with the Bears?
Well, that's a lot for, you know, a guy that's not talked to him yet. I think I feel good about whoever that is. I'm looking forward to getting to know Jake. He did text me, welcome me to Chicago, was very excited that I was coming here, which I thought was a nice move. I just reminded him that this game's only fun when we win, and we will, that I was looking forward to getting to see him. So I'm looking forward to seeing Jake face-to-face, and we're going to start that relationship and that process. It doesn't matter what player here. We're going to start that process, and I'm not there yet.
John, did the Broncos...
I recognize you.
Did the Broncos take for granted regular season victories with you to a degree, maybe?
Hey, look, you know, I made a release. My feelings haven't changed whatsoever. We parted ways mutually. I've got a lot of great friends there. It was a great four-year run. We hugged and moved on. It happens in football. I learned a long time ago. It's okay to look in the rearview mirror, but not very long because you better stay staring out the windshield. And that's me right now. I'm looking forward and very excited about it.
John, can you describe your defensive scheme, your philosophy, and also, if you stick the Bears roster, can you tell as this early date if the players fit what you want?
You know, kind of like the first question. You know, my energy right now has been hiring a staff. I think, you know, we're in off-season mode. I know it's important. We have people in the building that evaluate that roster. Personally, I've not dug into that. To the defensive question, whether you're 3-4, 4-3, spending 25 years in this league as a head coach or defensive coach, I think sometimes maybe on the outside more is made of that than reality. We're going to put our players in the best position for them to have success. That's how we're going to earn their respect moving forward, because they know we can help them. Whether that's a 3-4 or 4-3 has not been determined yet.
Hey, John, how close?
Bad ears. I recognize you, too. Hi, Dan.
Hi. How close do you think this roster is to competing for the NFC North in a Super Bowl?
You know, I've always been, of the thoughts of understate, overproduce. I've never predicted records, never predicted what, if I could do that, I'd be at a racetrack somewhere. I haven't gotten that far into evaluate it. I can just say we in the past have made pretty good jumps. So we're looking to do that. I can't predict exactly how fast and when that'll happen. I just believe it will.
John, as far as working with an offensive coordinator, can you describe how a week goes with you in terms of, do you lay out a strategic plan and leave the coordinator go do that? How hands-on are you with the offensive guys?
Well, I think that's a great question. I think as a head coach, my job is to motivate and manage the football team. And that wouldn't, it's not one phase is bigger and better than the other one. That's all three phases. And I'm very tied in. I look at a lot of film. People talk about, well, coach, you're a defensive coach. Well, I can promise you I've seen more offense than any offensive coach known to man in 25 years. So I know football. That's my job, motivate the coaches, motivate the team, prepare the team. And that's both strategic and technically. So I hope that answers your question.
John, will you be retaining any members of the previous staff?
Yeah, I don't know that yet. This is a very fluid process. I met with all of them all day Saturday, so all but two. I got to be honest. There's two guys that were out of town I did not meet with, but I've talked to everybody that's on the current staff, explained to them that Ryan Pace, myself, the Bears organization would honor all things going forward. There's a protocol you go through in this league as far as guys changing jobs and that kind of thing, but I can't determine that now. There's a lot, obviously, some good coaches on this staff. I had a team full of coaches back at Denver. So it's a fluid process, and we're going to try to locate the best human talent there is and then move forward, try to motivate them to be the best they can be every day. And that's really coaches and players.
John, normally when a team makes a change like this and they've won just five games, there's something set for the future. In this case, there were issues that appeared offense, defense, and special teams. So you're inheriting a situation like that. Where do you start?
I'm not sure I totally got the first part of that question, but I think, these teams are run, not run, but they basically operate within the same confines, salary cap, rules, the better you do, the lower the draft pick. I mean, there's great parity in this league. I'm looking forward to this challenge. I can't tell you exactly what that challenge is yet, but I understand that it starts with being successful in your division, because the one thing I know is if you win your division, you go to the playoffs. That's the first goal for our football team. When those players stand there, they'll know that. And there's a lot of work that goes into it. This is I think the oldest division in football. So I understand the rivalries. I understand having supremacy in a division. I can just speak to that. Our challenge is no different than the other guys in a division.
John, you have a track record of leading turnarounds in both Carolina and Denver. From your seat, what do you think the components were that catalyzed each of those turnarounds?
It's people. It's finding the right kind of people. We look for smart, tough people that are going to condition themselves to be the best they can be. And, football is a very combative physical game. It takes combative physical people. And that's what we're going to do our best to find, train, and compete.
John, what was your relationship, at all, with Ryan Pace before this week? What did you learn about him, and what did you like about him when you decided to take this job?
Well, I think coming into the process, personally, probably didn't know each other that well. I think the difference with that is, you know, we had people that we respect in the league that knew both of us and felt very, very confident that we'd be perfect together. And then, you know, I had the opportunity. I flew in here Wednesday. I had the opportunity to meet with the committee and had a great feel for Ryan. He flew out to Denver with his wife, Stephanie, spent time with my wife and I, Robin, you know, and just clicked. And so I understand the importance of that relationship, the get-along factor, arm-in-arm of that relationship, and I'm very, very excited about that moving forward.
Some of your former players have described you as a straight shooter. What would you say your style is in terms of dealing with the players, accountability, leadership?
You know, it's honesty. You know, I think, you know, sometimes people are sugarcoating, maybe it's third-party conversations. You just see a lot in any business, and that's no different than the NFL. I'm brutally honest. You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, I'm not afraid or intimidated to tell people the truth.
John, you've mentioned a couple times about putting your staff together. That's a big priority. The team announced that Jeff Rogers is going to be your special teams coordinator. Mm-hmm. Have you secured any more commitments specifically from guys to join your staff?
No, because, you know, you hear in today's media, there's a lot of, it's not just reporting, it's predicting. Some of it's true, some of it's not. You know, we're pursuing, you know, but I learned a long time ago, until it's on the dotted line, it's not final. So work very hard, gaining information, you know, again, back to finding what we think are the best human talent available. And we're in that process. So Jeff Rogers is on the dotted line. In fact, he's upstairs right now working hard to make the Chicago Bears better.
John, this is a...
Got it.
This is a franchise...
It echoes here, just so you know.
Right,
my hearing's still good.
Okay. This is a franchise that doesn't traditionally hire experienced NFL head coaches. When you took over Denver, how much did your previous experience in Carolina kind of help you with that turnaround?
You know, I think like most things, it's not automatic, but the more you do it, the better you should get. It's not always the case. But I think if you're passionate about what you're doing, it does help you. Sometimes in life, some of the things you make bad decisions on, you learn as much from as good decisions. So, you know, I hope it helps moving forward. I think it helped me the second time. You know, there's no manual for being a head coach. People ask me all the time, guys on my staff, coach, do you think this guy will be a head coach? And I have no idea. I mean, I had no idea what kind of head coach I'd be. So it's like holding Jell-O. It's a tough job. It's lonely at the top. It's a very competitive business. So I think I'm saying the experience did help.
John, why is a coach who will be 60 soon taking a job working for a first-time GM on a team in the midst of a rebuild, a good fit?
Well, you talked about 60 like that was old or something. in all seriousness, I hear you. Look, I'm very healthy, very energetic. I stay away from mirrors. I truly feel as I did at 36 when I went to work for Chuck Knoll with the Pittsburgh Steelers in 1989. At which point that goes away, I'll go away. I have a great passion for what I do. I try to surround myself with passionate people. This young man here, and I don't care about age. He's smart. He's honest. He's all the things I look for and the guy I want to be in the trenches with. I'm excited about that. I think we can both help each other, and that's what this is going to be about, pulling people together. And I feel real good about our relationship, even at an early date.
Coach, you talked about managing and motivating the coaches and players. How have you seen leadership successfully manifest inside the locker room throughout your career?
Well, it's a job. You know, it doesn't fall out of the sky. I think just like your own children, you're teaching young men how to be better young men. And that's in this element, that's in the element of life. It's not always perfect, but I think the block 36 power or the right footwork to block a three technique, which is very important. It's also important to teach young men about all the relationships of life.
Coach, it's a pretty whirlwind process to go from coaching your last game in Denver mm-hmm. to winding up here. Did you contemplate taking a year off? Did you look at any other jobs? Was it just the fit? How did you do this so quickly?
You know, I think it's been a whirlwind, but I consider myself a fairly mentally tough individual. I think, you know, like I preach to players, I try to get better every day, try to take one day at a time. It's a challenge every day. So, you know, my wife and I, you know, I didn't just, you know, whatever, non-meaningfully thank them. I'm celebrating my 30 years of marriage. You know, I said I have three grown young men and a young daughter. You know, they are helpful. They've taken this journey with me, and they'll take this journey, you know, here in Chicago with the Bears. You know, it's you know, every day can be tough. So, but it's been fun. It's been a great ride. I'm excited about this opportunity, as I mentioned before. I hope that answered your question. It's a little unique, I admit, but it's been a whirlwind for Ryan. You know, I think I looked over at him one night, and I said, hey, what about this? And he goes, Coach, I've only been here four more days than you. So that's been fun, but it'll be fun growing in this together.
John, we've heard from some of your former players about how you were able to handle maybe some oversized egos in the locker room and get buy-in from all of your guys. Is there a way to handle maybe the more outgoing player differently, or do you treat everybody the same? How does that?
Wow, that's way too well thought out. I'm not smart enough to analyze all those things. You know, I'm just me. I'm not smart enough to be anybody else. You know, yeah, it's been this way for a long time. So I really can't pinpoint it. I'm not dodging your question. It's, but I know it's about bringing people together. And that's going to be what we're going to attempt to do the best we can every day.
John, over here.
Yep.
What attributes do you look for in a quarterback?
One that wins. You know, I think, you know, I've had different ones. You know, they're just like any other position from the standpoint of what you're looking for, you know, decision making, executing their job, what to do, how to do it, and execute it under pressure. That's what we do. And that translates to every position, in my opinion. Whether you're talking about a kicker, a long snapper. I mean, everybody's got a job. That's why this is the ultimate of team games. And relying on the guy next to you to do his job. And 11 guys at once doing it, usually successful. I know everybody makes a big deal about the quarterback, and I get that. But it's still a team game. We all have to do it for our teammates and, you know, for something bigger than ourselves. So I look for that in any position, to be honest with you.
John, right here. How much authority do you as a coach feel you need over the roster? And if there's, on the current roster, if there's a player that you feel you just can't win with, can you enact that change?
That's a great question. Because in today's deal, you know, contractually, you know, I just know in 1989 we didn't have all that. And to me, I don't think you need all that in 2015. I think, just like I talked about with the team, I believe that to be true with the decision makers. I think if we have a building full of good evaluators, if we work at it very hard, I've been in places where we never even had in writing what and who and all that. Typically, you come to the same agreement, and I predict that that's the way it's going to be here moving forward.
John, right here in the middle. Working with Ryan, someone who's worked through the personnel department, a little different than some of your other GM's backgrounds, what benefits of that for you as a head coach to work with someone who has that kind of background as a GM?
Well, first of all, in my opinion, to be the head coach, you can't wear all the hats. I mean, there's just not enough time in the day. Wearing the hat I'm going to wear here or my spot on the team, I mean, if I do it right, I'm not going to have time for other stuff. So, look, I've been in the league and in football for a long time. I have an eye for talent. I happen to enjoy it. I think to be a good coach, you better be a good evaluator, or how do you even select your depth chart, right? So, to me, it's back to what I said. It's identifying, selecting the best human talent available. That means the 46 on game day. That means the 53 on the roster. That means the 10 practice squad guys. That means anybody that we look out there that we think can improve our football team. And through a season, you look to improve your football team on a daily basis. You might have injuries. You better have, you know, a list. And you better be ready to go. I don't have time for all that. All right. Now, I think that respectfully, you know, if we're looking at things and I have time to do it, if Ryan comes to me and says, Coach, can you look at this? I'd say, sure. And we'd sit down and, I mean, it was Big Five Beta Kappa. All right. I mean, I've watched enough football players. I mean, a lot of them were in bust. All right. So I think as a group, and you take the arm in arm and approach, we're going to do just fine.
John, over here. Coming to a storied franchise like the Bears, as you said, and having being a veteran of football, is there anything you're fearful of taking this job?
No, I mean, fear is probably the wrong word. Is there things I respect about it? Sure. I've been in this city, and I'm not going to mention names, but it was kind of vicious, you know, the newspapers and all that stuff. I mean, I wasn't on the receiving end, but, you know, I still feel for the other guy. But that's okay. I mean, like I said before, this is a competitive game, and we know what we're signing up for. I tell my players all the time, we're under attack. All right? I mean, you know, if you can't handle the heat, get out of the kitchen. All right? It's what we sign up for. That's why we're compensated so well to do what we do. I explained to my wife one time, wondering, you know, what time I'm going to be home. I said, honey, I'll get a paper route. All right, I'll be home a lot, but we got to move. I was younger and not as mature then when I said that. But
John, what makes you believe this is the right fit for you and that you can win with the Bears?
I think it starts at the top. I mean, the ownership is very respected in the league. You know, I've banged around this thing for 25 years, so I'm at owners' meetings. I meet, you know, I kind of know the dynamics of every football team there is, and I'm not, you know, smart. I've just been doing it a little bit. So I had great respect for this organization before this happened. You know, I think one of the reasons why you try to conduct yourself in the right way, it's a small fraternity of people. I try to explain that to players, how they conduct themselves, you know, what people kind of think you are. So it was very appealing. I think I came here in 1985. I was a college coach, and Mike Ditka was the head coach. I know they remodeled this building, but this was a completely different building. So I saw what the Bears are about, and I'm really excited and honored and proud to be standing here. I can't make any promises other than I'm going to give you everything I got. And that trophy is kind of lonely out there in that hallway.
coach months ago, Brian Urlacher says that for the position for quarterback, it's not just about talent. It's also about a strong mind and short mind. What's your opinion about this? Is just enough being talent for the position of quarterback?
Well, as I mentioned earlier about the quarterback position, and I know Brian, and we're going to make things right with him. I know I'm excited about meeting with him. Both Ryan and I are. What he says is not wrong, but it's not just related to that position. You know, so much like I answered that other question, it's, you know, it's not always about talent. You know, whether you're putting together a SEAL Team 6 group, sometimes it's experience, sometimes it's a special skill. You know, it's not always the most talented teams that win. It's the best teams that win.
We have time for a few more.
John right here in the middle. Did any of John Elway's comments, you know, about kicking and screaming or want for more fire bother you at all?
You know, I read things, all kind of things. I would just say we did disagree, all right? Not anything specific. Obviously, we parted ways, felt good about it, hugged walking out. I said that a week ago today, and I still feel that.
Hey, John, how would you characterize how this offensive coordinator search is going? And in particular, is it difficult because of so many vacancies around the league right now?
You know, I used to get the question, are you concerned? I'm concerned about everything. Is it difficult? Yeah, everything we do. We're competing against 31 teams that are the best in the world at what they do. So it's all difficult, all right? But you know that going in. We will hire an outstanding offensive coordinator. And then we're not going to predict how he does. We're going to just go do it. And that's how we'll approach it.
John, you mentioned Urlacher. Mm-hmm. Kind of piques some interest. It was a bad ending for Brian here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You said you want to make things right with him. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of explain exactly what you mean and what you guys envision doing to kind of welcome him back?
Not so much, you know, back out of that rearview mirror. It's looking forward. I've not talked to Brian in a while. I've gathered whatever it was, all right, and our experience has been to reach out. I mean, I'm going to reach out to Mike Ditka. You know, Mike's a friend I haven't talked to in a while. You know, I've banged into him every once in a while in Florida. But he understands Chicago at this point right way better than I do. I'd be crazy not to. With ex-players, you know, I think it's important to build that relationship. I can't speak for what I'm not even here, so I'm ignorant to that. I just know that Ryan and I are going to reach out and spend some time.
John, from watching your teams over the years, we know you have an affinity for running the football, mm-hmm. But throughout your coaching career as
did you watch it the last 3 years? No, I'm just kidding.
Throughout your coaching career, as the rules have tilted a little bit towards quarterbacks mm-hmm. and receivers, how has your offensive philosophy sort of evolved?
You know, we talk about the toughness and the personality of running the ball and stopping the run. I think that's the essence of football. That's just me, and that's why I bring it up first. But I can promise you, you better be able to throw it, because typically on third down, you got to throw it. And I can promise you, you better be able to defend the pass. So at the end of the day, to be successful, you better be consistent and good at both. I'm talking about offensively and defensively, and that's not slighting special teams. You watched the game the other day that I think that might have been the difference in the game is fourth down. So it's all important. It's all a concern, and it's our job to move forward getting better at all of it.
John, what impact did your heart scare a couple years ago have on you, and did it change you at all?
Well, probably taught me to listen to doctors. Health is important. But, you know, my issue was not lifestyle. I didn't have bypass surgery. I mean, I was born with something that You know, they didn't find it till I was 42. You know, I thank the New York Giants for that because they found it. And I was an athlete my whole life, and nobody ever found it. They monitored it for a long time. They told me I should have probably gone into June. I wasn't quite ready for that. Just for those of you moving forward, it's not really easy to say, oh, yeah, today's a great day to go in for open heart surgery, all right? You know, and you feel fine. So, you know, it was a little scary. I thought I could get through the season. I made it halfway, but, you know, with the love and care of my family, luckily I was in a good place when it happened. I knew people. They kind of parted the Red Sea. You know, and it was a four-week layover. I was back 4 weeks post-op, came back, and actually got on guys in my training room. I said, dude, that's a sprained ankle. I just had open heart surgery, right? So gives me a little juice in the locker room. I was treated like an injury and came back pretty fast.